Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Selling and servicing new and used Toyotas in your community for over 50 years. And you can reserve your next new Toyota with them today. You'll get a realistic timeline, and even in this crazy market, they won't charge you over MSRP. Or don't wait at all. With over 75 certified Toyotas, including a bunch of RAV4 and Highlanders, you can drive one home today. And you can always trust them to maintain your current vehicle. Their service and collision centers are high-tech, comfortable, and will save you time and money. Team Toyota can help you go anywhere you want, but they'll always be your hometown team. Just visit teamtoyota.net and choose from three locations in Langhorne, Glen Mills, or Princeton. Hey folks, this is the Phillies Talk Podcast. I'm Corey Seidman. It's March 24th, and if you listened or watched yesterday's podcast, probably noticed that about an hour after it went up, the Phillies suffered a devastating injury to Rhys Hoskins, who tore his left ACL and is almost certainly out for the season here. Hoskins injured the knee going back on a ground ball at first base in the second inning of Thursday's spring training game at BayCare Ballpark. He was moving back, and as he got to the outfield grass, he left his feet clearly in pain, clutched his knee as he hit the ground. He was tended to by the Phillies training staff and EMTs at the field for about 10 minutes. He was surrounded by worried teammates, and the mood in the clubhouse after the game seemed pretty somber, just watching the videos of guys like Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner, Bailey Falter speaking, among others, just about what Hoskins means to the team, you know, both on the field and kind of as their leader. You know, he's a team rep. He's a guy who comes out and faces the music after wins and losses. He's the second longest tenured Philly. Bailey Falter referred to him as the mayor of Philadelphia and as Mr. Philly. You know, this is a big loss for the Phils. You know, they had been dealing with some other injuries in camp, most notably the elbows of pitchers Ranger Suarez and Andrew Painter, but this is by far the most serious injury that they've suffered. This is a guy, Hoskins, who had like 700 plate appearances last year, more than 700 plate appearances when you count the playoffs. 156 games in the regular season, he had 30 homers. He homered six more times in the postseason. His 794 OPS last season was 11th among major league first basemen. So even though there's the idea that you're a first baseman, you should be a really good power hitter, even among first basemen last year, Hoskins ranked pretty much in the top third. So now the Phillies have to deal with this situation. It's likely going to require surgery. The surgery for a torn ACL, usually for a Major League Baseball player or a professional baseball player, the average timetable of recovery is about 9 months. Now, everybody heals differently, but it's usually a season-ending injury. You know, Gavin Lux, the Dodgers shortstop, tore his ACL earlier in spring training. He's out for the season. Ronald Acuna Jr. tore his ACL in July 2021. He returned in April 2022, 9 months later. So that seems like it's about, you know, the time frame to be looking at here, but we'll know more in the coming days, weeks, months. But this is just a brutal blow for the team and the player. Rhys Hoskins was entering his contract year, set for free agency after this 2023 season, and his next contract is going to be determined in part by how he performed in 2023, whether he produced, whether he followed up that 30-homer season, how he fared in the field. But now all that's gone. Now he's going to enter his free agent year rehabbing a serious injury. It's going to be a different sort of offseason going into 2024 than Hoskins has ever experienced. And it's just really unfortunate for him. You know, he hasn't gotten his humongous payday yet, and this could impact things. From a team standpoint, the Phillies are losing one of the top five hitters in their lineup. You know, Hoskins, while he may have been a polarizing figure at times over the last like 6-7 years here, because he was offensively, he was the face of the Phillies before they turned the corner and became good again. So, you know, when you're the face of a team that's losing, inevitably a portion of the fan base develops an opinion of you. And I'm not saying that every Phillies fan thinks negatively of Rhys Hoskins, not even close. I think he's more positively received than negatively received. But what I'm just saying is that despite the way that he may have been taken for granted at times here over the years, the guy posts almost every single day. And between the power and, you know, the plate selection earlier in his career, since his debut, he's been like one of the top 15 power hitters in all of baseball. You look at homers, RBIs, walks, things like that. So it's now a loss in the middle of the Phillies lineup, but they are positioned to withstand it somewhat if they choose to do so internally. The easiest solution would be starting Darrick Hall at first base. This is a humongous opportunity for Darrick Hall. Darrick Hall is entering his age 28 season, left-handed hitter, had all those extra base hits last season, 18 extra base hits and like 140 plate appearances, filling in as the DH when Bryce Harper went down. And Hall was going to be the DH against right-handed pitching earlier in the season to begin with here in 2023. Now he might have to play first base every day, or at least against right-handed pitchers, because when the Phillies are facing a lefty, they could opt for another choice at first base. So option A, you know, you have Darrick Hall at first base against right-handed pitchers, and that would probably mean more playing time for Jake Cave, another left-handed hitter, because if Hall were to start at first against righties, you have that DH spot that's open now. So you could put Nick Castellanos at DH, you could put Kyle Schwarber at DH, and you could then insert Jake Cave into the corner outfield, thereby improving your defense and getting another left-handed bat in the lineup, which, quite frankly, you know, there's something to be said that if you have two left-handed bats in there, like a Hall and a Cave, maybe that situates the Phillies a little bit better against a tough right-handed pitcher than if it were to be like, you know, Hoskins and Hall. I'm not saying that's always going to be the case. Hoskins hit some tough righties, hit that huge homer off Spencer Strider last year in the playoffs. But, you know, just thinking about different ways the Phillies could go about trying to replicate some of what Hoskins gave them, the Hall Cave against righties pairing could work. I would also think that this increases the likelihood that someone like Cody Clemens makes the team. Cody Clemens was definitely on the bubble for that final bench spot, but the Phillies are probably going to need another player who can play the infield now. So probably increases Cody Clemens' likelihood of making the team. That opening day bench could be something like Garrett Stubbs, Cody Clemens, Josh Harrison, and Edmundo Sosa, if you expect that Hall and Cave would both be in the lineup against a righty. Then when facing a lefty, you know, the first option that sticks out is Edmundo Sosa, who's had an incredible spring at the plate, hitting like over 500, right-handed hitter who did more than the Phillies expected in the second half last year offensively when they acquired him at the trade deadline from the Cardinals for Jojo Romero, the lefty reliever. But when facing a left-handed pitcher, you could go Edmundo Sosa at third base, you could shift Alec Bohm to first base, or you could leave Bohm at third and just play Sosa at first or play Josh Harrison at first. There's something to be said for trying to get Sosa to third base in those situations because he's obviously more shorthanded than Bohm. However, there's also the argument that Alec Bohm has really grown comfortable at the hot corner, and why mess with him? Why shift him back and forth between third base and first base? Maybe that gets in his head. Maybe it affects his defense at multiple positions. So that's, you know, another consideration. But having Sosa around to be able to play any infield spot, it's pretty valuable in a situation like this. It makes everybody on the bench more important. Everybody's going to have to step up a little bit more. Darrick Hall is more important to the Phillies. J.K. is more important to the Phillies. Edmundo Sosa is more important to the Phillies because of this Rhys Hoskins injury. Those are the internal options. Externally, you know, just a couple names worth mentioning, just filing away in the back of your mind, because keep in mind the Phillies have humongous expectations. So when you suffer an injury at an early stage like this and you have championship-level expectations, the trade market is always a consideration. In that regard, a couple of first basemen who might be available. CJ Krohn, the Rockies first baseman, is the obvious name. He's one of the top trade candidates in all of baseball this season because the Rockies are headed nowhere and Krohn is a free agent after the season. So he's probably, you would think he's going to be moved at some point this year. The question is the price tag. What does it cost to get 1 year of a player like that? 1 year of a player who last season was absolutely incredible at Coors Field and was not the same away from Coors Field. You know, as the years go on, we learn more and more about the hangover effect of playing at Coors Field, that it's not just, okay, you put up bigger numbers there as opposed to on the road. It's that it takes a toll on you playing at Coors Field. So some of the numbers you put up on the road are because of the toll it takes on your body playing at that altitude for half the season. Just so CJ Cron's one name to think about. Another would be Yuli Gurriel, who might not make the Marlins roster. He's with the Marlins as on a minor league deal, the 38-year-old former Astros first baseman. Bringing up his name because, A, he might not make the team and could be easily available to sign. B, because he's a right-handed hitter. And that's like the other piece of this. You're probably not going out and getting a left-handed first baseman if the Phillies pick up another player. I saw some people have mentioned like Joey Votto, who also had late season injury issues last year. I don't even know if he's totally ready to go at this point. But with Joey Votto, it's another left-handed bat. Like, what does that do for you? That doesn't do it as much for you as bringing in a right-handed complement to a Darrick Hall to play first base. By the way, as I'm sitting down to record this, Dave Dombrowski is addressing reporters down in Clearwater. And he just said, you know, the Phillies feel comfortable with Darrick Hall at first base. So sure seems like Darrick Hall will be getting the majority of playing time there early in the season. So, you know, external options, you mentioned Cron, you mentioned Yuli Gurriel. More of a distant trade candidate could be Christian Walker, the right-handed hitting first baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's not a free agent until after next season, after the 2024 season. But he doesn't particularly align with Arizona's young core, like the Corbin Carroll, like the way that they're rebuilding their roster. Walker is, I believe, age 31 already. By the time he hits free agency, he's going to be heading into his age 33 season. Does that align with the same timeline that the Diamondbacks are on? You know, he last year, Walker, career year, 36 homers. So that would cost more than CJ Cron, and I would obviously cost more than signing a Yuli Gurriel if he gets cut. But those are the three names that immediately jump out to me as far as right-handed hitting first baseman who could potentially be available at some point. But here in the short term, it really looks like the Phillies are comfortable going with Darrick Hall against righties and something like that Sosa situation against lefties. Now, some of the questions I've received here over the last 24 hours, what about Kyle Schwarber at first base? I don't see the need to do it. You might see it a handful of games if the Phillies are in a position where they have to do that. But Schwarber's played only 11 games of first base in his entire major league career. There's this perception that because first base is like seen as an easy position that you can just take anywhere, pluck them from anywhere and put them at first base. First base is difficult to play. I refer you to that famous Moneyball quote, the movie Moneyball, about first base being incredibly difficult to play. But so Schwarber, I wouldn't think is that realistic of an option to play first that much unless the Phillies are in a pinch. The other question I received a lot is, what about Harper at first base? Bryce Harper at first base when he returns from Tommy John surgery. Now, the throwing is the last piece of Harper's rehab, and the Phillies are not going to rush that. You know, Dave Dombrowski, when he spoke earlier this week, was content to say Harper might not play right field at all in 2023. The Phillies just want to get his bat in the lineup. It might wait until 2024 to see him back in the field. So some people have asked, okay, what about first base? You don't have to throw as much at first base, but there's still a lot of throwing involved at first base. You get a guy in a rundown, you have to throw to second. There's a runner on third dashing for home, and there's a ground ball to first base you have to throw home. All it takes is one play where if you were to have Harper at first base and his muscle memory takes over and he fires a rocket home, forgetting about the fact that maybe he shouldn't be going all out with his arm, all it takes is one event like that to potentially have a devastating setback. So, you know, the Phillies have enough other options at first base that I don't think Harper is a realistic guy to play that position in June or July or whenever he comes back. There are enough other options, and someone's going to have to be the designated hitter anyway. So, you know, that's a spot for Harper. But, you know, the injuries are kind of mounting for the Phillies as opening day approaches here. It's less than a week away. Hoskins, obviously, the most serious one. And there's Ranger Suarez and Andrew Painter, who won't be ready for opening day because of elbow issues. Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand dealing with knee and hand injuries, respectively, although it sounds like Stubbs is going to be ready for the opener. Nick Nelson and Christopher Sanchez, two guys who were in play as long men or distant candidates for the fifth starter's job, are also down right now. So the Phillies did not make it out of camp healthy. Most teams don't. The Mets are going through injury issues of their own. Edwin Diaz, Jose Quintana, Brandon Nimmo. The Braves are down Raisel Iglesias, who's not going to be ready for opening day because of a minor shoulder issue. So injuries all across the NL East, impactful injuries in the NL East. And this loss of Rhys Hoskins, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal for 6 months during the regular season. And if the Phillies make it to the playoffs, it'll remain a big deal. Knowing Reese, I'm sure he's going to be around at some point once surgery is in the past and he's able to, you know, be on his feet again. He's a guy who loves being around his teammates, loves that leadership role that he's in with the Phillies. And in the meantime, the Phillies will just ask for a lot more out of guys like Darrick Hall and Jake Cave and Edmundo Sosa in particular. Opening day, less than a week away, Phillies and Rangers in Texas. Phillies likely to face a couple of righties and a lefty in that series. Martin Perez probably pitching the middle game. Not sure if the Rangers have announced their rotation yet, but they have guys like Eovaldi, DeGrom, Martin Perez. So likely to face two righties and a lefty in that series. So you probably see two starts of Darrick Hall. And then when the Phillies go to Yankee Stadium for their second series, they're also likely to face two right-handed pitchers. So figuring it's going to be a lot of Darrick Hall and Jake Cave early in the season. Both guys have really produced in spring training, which is a good thing. You know, it's better to head into the season in this spot with Hall and Cave both crushing the ball, hitting the ball hard and hitting, you know, producing extra base hits all throughout camp than it would be if they were just kind of treading water. So thanks for listening to the Phillies Talk Podcast. Wish we were coming here today under different circumstances, but this is the Phillies' immediate future. They'll have to navigate through without Rhys Hoskins in 2023.